I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Trump and Saudi Arabia. Trump and Saudi Arabia. The president, Donald Trump, has gone now to Saudi Arabia and met with the leaders there. And you know, a very spectacular show of pageantry and going out of their way. The Saudis have welcomed the president and the first lady. They've gone out of their way to talk about how elegant and fashionable and conservative and so on Melania Trump is, and how she's presented and her fashion and all that kind of stuff. And of course, they really seem to roll out the red carpet for President Donald Trump a lot more so than they ever did for President Barack Obama. Probably because in the Muslim world, they respect strength, generally speaking. They do not value, in general, the kind of weak. In fact, they look down upon this weak, effeminized Western culture that has emerged here over the last 20 or 30 years. Really, you know, that's emerged one step at a time since the end of World War II. I talked about this on the programs with at Worldview Weekend with Brannon House when I was on Brannon's program last week, and we were talking about John Stormer's book, None Dare Call It Treason. And that is a book, it is said, by Stormer, who the author, that Ronald Reagan used to buy by the case, and he would hand out to people and talk to them about that book. Because the book is describing the subversion, the systematic subversion of our system from within politics, the education system, etc. And it's got a lot of very powerful information in it. But part of what Stormer documented was what was being said, a comparison between the men who fought in the Korean War versus the men who fought in World War II, and how the mental toughness of the World War II veterans was just much stronger. They were much more determined, much more able. They knew who they were. They had a lot of confidence in America and the American cause. They just had a much clearer focus. The men who were in Korea, in contrast, seemed aimless, seemed somewhat hopeless. It is said by Stormer, based on his documentation, that many of them were willing to actually cooperate with the enemy and so on, that there was a much more weakened resolve by that point. And Stormer, from what I remember, talks about the infiltration of our education system and really finding ways to undermine any confidence in America's history, in America's heritage, in America's faith, and in the idea of American freedom. And America as a moral country, as a country that stands for the cause of, well, I remember when I was a kid, we used to watch the old Superman series, the black and white one, with, was it George Reeves? Yep, it was George Reeves, the actor George Reeves, who played Superman in the TV series, where they said, you know, look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman, right? And he stands for truth, justice, and liberty for all. That was the idea of America. America stands for truth, justice, and liberty for all. That was the idea. But that idea began to be attacked after World War II. It began to be undermined in our education system. And so by the time you get to the Korean War, according to Stormer, many of the men who were fighting just had a different worldview. They had a weakened worldview. And it appears to have been the influence of these Marxists chipping away at the very foundation of everything that America had ever believed or stood for, and doing it through the schools. And of course, we're seeing that today. We see many young people, especially those in college, they'll get up and they'll rant and rave against America as a horrible, intolerant, bigoted country and all this other kind of stuff. And now, of course, they're going around taking down Civil War monuments with all these accusations. Well, they symbolize supposedly racism and bigotry and on and on and on. And removing historic monuments. And this is some, why? What are they doing? They're trying to get rid of America's history. Trying to get rid of our history. And they're going to replace it. They want to replace it with a Marxist version of history. That's what they are working to do. And so you had, when Obama was in the White House, he wanted there to be gay monuments, homosexual monuments in the country, symbolizing the journey of sodomites in the United States. And supposedly that's something noble and something that we need to have monuments over. Meanwhile, things pertaining to America's Civil War should somehow or other be removed. And this is just part of the undermining, systematic undermining. Anyway, so all of that was represented, I believe, by Barack Obama. Obama, while he was in the White House, he really represented the anti-American worldview. And these other countries, like Saudi Arabia, I don't think really had a tremendous amount of respect for Obama in that regard. I just don't think they did. They seem to have a lot more respect and a much higher regard for Trump, simply because Trump is a very tough leader. And he has not minced words down there in Saudi Arabia. He's openly spoken against acts of Islamic terrorism and said that everybody needs to work and fight against this, etc., etc. Now, his speech to the Saudis, he's making reference to that. You go online, you read some of these headlines, they're talking about it. The problem, brethren, and this is one of those, you know, I am thankful that Donald Trump is president of the United States. There's no question about that. Much more so than Hillary Clinton. He's much, much better for the country right now than Hillary. But nevertheless, there are certain elements to America's foreign policy that are very troubling. And troubling in a way that's not just troubling today, but very possibly, very likely, even more troubling as our country moves forward in history. Troubling, and we're going to read part of the speech here from President Trump. Things that he's saying and doing right now with Saudi Arabia could very well create real problems 5, 10, 20 years down the line, depending on how things go. But if you go read the speech, they've got a copy of it on jihadwatch.org, President Trump's speech there in Saudi Arabia. And at one point, I mean, everybody's talking right now about the big deal that he made with Saudi Arabia. He said at one point, he said, quote, "Yesterday we signed historic agreements with the kingdom that will invest almost $400 billion in our two countries and create many thousands of jobs in America and Saudi Arabia. This landmark agreement includes the announcement of $110 billion Saudi-funded defense purchase. And we will be sure to help our Saudi friends to get a good deal from our great American defense companies. This agreement will help the Saudi military to take a greater role in security operations," end quote. Now, to a lot of people, that's going to sound like, well, good, you know, Trump, because he did. He talked about having other countries pay their fair share, and they need to step up, and they need to help defend the free world just like America. And it's this whole, and so they're going to Saudi Arabia. They want to help build up the Saudi Arabian military for this purpose. Now, here's the problem with this, brethren. The problem is Saudi Arabia is the wellspring of the philosophy of international terrorism around the world. This is the problem with it. And you can go online and read this from a whole variety of websites, both conservative and liberal websites will tell you that Saudi Arabia is the birthplace and wellspring of Wahhabi Islam, Wahhabism, which is, in a nutshell, it is the philosophy of terrorism. It is the Islamic brand, the Islamic teaching concerning terrorism in modern times. That's what Wahhabism is. And of course, Wahhabism is named after a teacher who lived, I think, in the 18th century, whose name was Wahhab. And he wanted to get back to the old, authentic, traditional form of Islam that went all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad. And so Wahhab and Wahhabism is said to represent the most authentic form of Islam. And the founder was Muhammad ibn Abin al-Wahhab, 1703 to 1792. So he did live in the 18th century. In fact, he's known as a reformer in Islam, reforming it from what he saw as apostate teachings. And here, according to an article on Wikipedia, it says that Ibn al-Wahhab's pact with Muhammad bin Saad helped to establish the Emirate of Diriya, the first Saudi state, and began a dynastic alliance and power-sharing arrangement between their families, which continues to the present day in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So that's the significance of al-Wahhab, the teacher, in part, but also his own teachings about Muhammadism and Islam. That is the very, that's the backbone, that's the doctrine of Wahhabism. And Wahhabi Islam, the quick way to understand it, the short definition is it is the philosophy of modern terrorism. And when you have these guys going around trying to tell you that Islam means peace and this kind of thing, I mean, that all these are all Western inventions. The inventions, I believe, of Jesuits and Western media, Western propaganda to try and massage Islam into the Western world and to get the generally Christian people of the West and those who are agnostics, those who are peace-loving people generally, to embrace Islam, even though they have every reason not to, even though there's every reason to be concerned about Islam and its history and what the real teachings of Muhammad were. And this has been exposed over and over and over again throughout history. And now we've got socialists in the media and in politics who are trying to cover it up. But we are going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to talk more about how all of this could very well influence the Trump administration when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we're talking about the Trump administration and Saudi Arabia and this recent visit that President Trump has taken to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the fact that Saudi Arabia, it is well known, brethren. This is not even a conspiracy theory. You will find this on conservative media. You'll find it on all kinds of different outlets, because it is well-known, well-documented information. And why am I concerned about it? Let me just read a few more things here. This is one of a number of articles you can find on Front Page Mag going back several years. This one is, it says, the headline, "The Salafis, Daddy Warbucks, Saudi Arabia, who will stand up to the Saudis for fostering Islamic terrorism?" It says, at one point in the article, it says, quote, "The most important obstacle is the West's decades-long willful blindness to name and shame Saudi Arabia as the biggest terror financier, as well as the Saudis' role in the development and spread of opaque Sharia finance institutions and Islamic charities." Okay. Chances are these opaque, hazy, Sharia finance institutions and Islamic charities are typically operations where money is funneled through a so-called charity to finance terrorism around the world. The article goes on. It says, quote, "Thus, Germany's Vice Chancellor Sigmar Gabriel's recent condemnation of Saudi Arabia's ongoing funding of the spread of radical Islam in the West was surprising. Quote, Wahhabi mosques all over the world are financed by Saudi Arabia. Many Islamists who are a threat to public safety come from these communities." Okay? And this was published in a German newspaper. And he went on to say, this German vice chancellor said, quote, "We have to make clear to the Saudis that the time of looking away is over." In other words, the Western world does business with Saudi Arabia and just looks the other way at the fact that Saudi Arabia is financing these terror operations. And somehow or other, Western leaders pretend it's not happening. The United Nations pretends it's not happening. And they embrace Saudi Arabia. And this is the part that some people are concerned about, where Trump is concerned. Now, in Trump's defense, when he goes to Saudi Arabia, he's very gracious to the people there. If you read his speech, we're not going to go over it all, but he's going on and on about how they were very nice to him, etc. And he's talking about, you know, what an elegant, beautiful kingdom they have, et cetera, and all this other kind of stuff. So he's very gracious to them, which you would expect from a political leader. That's not unusual. The one promising aspect of this is that he is actually speaking against Islamic terrorism while he's there. Now, to me, it seems almost impossible that President Trump would be unaware that Saudi Arabia is financing Wahhabism and effectively global terrorism around the world. It just seems impossible that he would not know this. I mean, this has been well known for years. What's disturbing to me is this military contract and allowing Saudi Arabia to invest billions of dollars, which they have, and in exchange, we're going to give them all kinds of military hardware and help build up their military. To me, that's very, very disturbing. Very disturbing. And I cannot help but think over and over again of the fall of Constantinople in 1453. And the fact that this ancient Christian empire that stood for 1,000 years fell because a Western engineer, a Hungarian Catholic in particular, designed weapons of mass destruction that were then paid for by the Turks, these giant cannons, and it was those cannons that are said to have made the difference with the fall of Constantinople and the ability of the Turks to blast down the walls there that had stood for centuries. You see what I'm saying, brethren? There's no way around it. Islam, any form of Islam, historically is the enemy of the West. Historically is the enemy of Christianity. It's inescapable. Has been trying to invade and overthrow the Christian world for more than 1,000 years. This is not kind of sort of maybe. This is not just an old, you know, something that happened 500 years ago and now those conflicts don't matter anymore. That's simply not where that kind of interpretation of history does not apply to Islam in modern times. Islam is continuing the fight against Christianity, the fight against the Jewish people, and they want to destroy both, ultimately. And they've got leaders that are out there proclaiming that one day everybody's going to be under Sharia law. So this, and what Trump is doing, and not just Trump, but Western leaders overall, what they're doing is not necessarily going to perhaps harm you and I in our lifetimes. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I guess it depends on how old you are and how long we've got. But my point is, over the next 10 to 20 years, is it a concern that Saudi Arabia would somehow or other be part of an attempt to invade America? Well, it does not seem likely in the next 10 to 20 years, but things can happen. Anything could happen. Events could escalate very quickly, very rapidly. We've seen it before. But this systematic buildup of the historic enemies, giving them military hardware, billions and billions of dollars, giving them the financing and the weaponry, to one day, perhaps, God forbid, but perhaps one day to overthrow in a very direct way. If they had the ability to do it, brethren, they would do it. You realize that? They would, if they had the ability, if they had the military might to do it, they would do it. They would invade America. They would invade England if they could do it. The only thing that hinders them is right now they don't have the ability, but they're working on that. And these socialists in the West are giving them the money, the weapons, the technology, the knowledge, everything. Training, sending, you know, the best military experts to go and train their troops and teach them how to do things. And it's all being done, well, we're all just going to be neighborly. We're all just going to be globalists together. We're part of the global community. We're all going to work together and this kind of thing. It, you know, it sounds good to people, but it's very, very dangerous once you know history. Very dangerous. All right, a couple of other articles on this. Force and Fanaticism, another Front Page Mag article. Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia and Beyond. Valentine, here's what it says, a British Methodist pastor and teacher who taught in Saudi Arabia, has written a useful book about the desert kingdom. Most interesting is its exploration of how the monarchy is, quote, the single greatest force in spreading Islamic fundamentalism. It has spent as much as $100 billion to spread Wahhabism in the West. Yet America and Britain have been and are continuing to be implicit supporters of Wahhabism. America and Britain have been effectively supporters of Wahhabism. There's no question this went on during the Bush administration, because the Bush administration was very supportive of Saudi Arabia, so much so that you've got people who suspect that 9/11 was an inside job. You have now all of this evidence that people have claimed for years. I mean, of course, the majority of the hijackers on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia. And here is one more article from Front Page Mag. And the headline says, Saudi influence in Washington must end. This was published last year. And the first paragraph says, quote, the 28 pages of a congressional report detailing where the 9/11 hijackers got their financing have been classified for years, but what they contain is an open secret. Former Senator Bob Graham explained, quote, the 28 pages primarily relate to who financed 9/11, and they point a very strong finger at Saudi Arabia as being the principal financier. That's the problem with Saudi Arabia. But where all this is headed with the Trump administration, we're going to have to wait and see, brethren. It's why we need to stay in prayer for our country. All right, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.